Welcome to our Reach Next Generation podcast. I'm Grace Jeffries, and I'm thinking about my future. To help me with this, I'm speaking with successful women to get an understanding of the challenges they've faced throughout their careers, how they overcame them, and what tips they have for girls of my age. Today my guest is Hannah Simano, who is the founder and CEO of Unfabled, the first e-commerce marketplace for menstrual wellbeing. Unfabled allows people to discover sustainable wellness products personalised for them. Thanks for joining me today, Hannah. Can we start by you telling us all how your career took you to founding Unfabled?
Thank you for having me, Grace. It's a pleasure to be here. So thank you for your question. I started out my career in the technology space. So I first worked at a tech startup when I was on my year abroad at university. So I always loved languages in school, French and Spanish in particular. And I went on to Durham University where I studied languages. And you know, I was really attracted to the course because I loved the idea of having a year abroad. And during that time, I got to work in this very small technology company that was building mobile apps. And at the time, I really didn't even know what a tech startup meant, but I did that internship when I was 20 years old, and I loved it because really it was just a team of five or six people building an app, and I was running all of the marketing. So I loved the responsibility, and I knew then that I wanted to spend more time working in technology and startups. So when I left university, I went to work at Unilever on their graduate program. And the graduate program I did was in technology. So I spent 2 years on that fantastic program and gained a lot of skills. But I always knew that working around women's health and female empowerment was the space that I really, really cared about. So I got an opportunity to leave Unilever and move to East Africa, move to Kenya, to launch a company called Kasha, which is an e-commerce platform for women's health products. So I did that, and I was part of a team building a platform where women can buy all sorts of products for their periods or for their health online. And really, that was when things clicked for me, and I thought, this makes a lot of sense, using technology to build products and services for women and girls. And then I came back to the UK, and that was really the experience I had prior to building Unfabled.
Well, when you were at school, did you know that you wanted to work in tech or make businesses?
It's such an interesting thought, because I think when I was at school, I thought that technology was only for people who were studying, let's say, IT. And I didn't do that. I didn't study computer science, and I studied, you know, the arts. I loved creative subjects and English literature and, as I mentioned, French and Spanish. So I don't think once in my schooling did I think about technology. And, you know, things have come a long way. I was born in 1992, so I was at school through the sort of the 90s and then the early noughties, and I finished school in 2011. But at that time, there wasn't much of a conversation really around startups or business building, certainly where I was. So when I had this experience on my year abroad and got to work in this startup, it was quite mind-blowing for me, realizing that actually you don't have to have studied computer science or even necessarily the sciences to go down a technology route. So I want to say, if anyone's interested, you know, interested in the arts, in creative subjects, I still think technology can be such a brilliant space because it's all about building new things. So I love that as a creative person.
Well, I know you founded Unfabled in early last year. How and what were the challenges that came with setting up your business in lockdown?
Oh my goodness, yes. So I founded Unfabled exactly 1 year ago out of my flat during lockdown. And really the problem that I'd identified is that period care is not included in the wellness industry. And so what I mean by that is really the way that we buy products for period care is still very archaic. You know, period products are traditionally found in supermarkets alongside dog food and bleach. And I thought, ah, it's a shame that that's the experience. And I think I could create a better shopping experience for that. So it was quite a funny time from January to February last year, reaching out to brands and buying their stock and starting to have these cardboard boxes and products piling up in my flat. And I built a website in just a couple of weeks. Again, to going back to the technology point, you know, it's easier than ever to build a website yourself. And I really love doing that, kind of tinkering around with technology. So I did that. And then I built and launched Unfabled, and immediately was really fortunate to have fantastic traction and feedback from people who were coming to the website and buying products for their period, but also, you know, lovely candles and skincare, and saying, wow, this is great getting these products all in one place. But at the same time, you know, I was just in my flat and I was running to the post office about 3 or 4 times a day with these orders and packing these orders around the clock. And it was really quite chaotic, but brilliant. You know, it was a really fun time. And the past 12 months has really been the journey of getting some investment from investors, so going through some fundraising, which was a big learning curve, and now we are a team of 4 people. So I think at each stage there have been bits that have been fun, but bits that have been testing, and at least now all of the products and packing doesn't happen in my flat or in my kitchen anymore, so that's good.
I bet you really learned how hard it is to set up a business if you're in lockdown.
Oh wow, yes, it is challenging, but also I really want to say that I think anyone, if you have a passion, can do it. I think founding a business is just about having the passion to solve a problem that you, I think, can relate to, because it's hard work, that's for sure. But if it's something you really care about, it actually is quite energizing, you know, because you get to spend your whole time working on this thing. So yeah. I would say, you know, I used to think founding a business was going to be this mammoth task. So I didn't think about it for ages. I thought, I'm not qualified for that job. But actually, now I'm doing it, I do think it's one day at a time, just solving problems and being quite generalist, having a lot of useful skills, but not necessarily being an expert in anything. That's really the helpful thing. And also founding a business in lockdown was useful because I had, you know, I had no friends to see because we were all indoors and I had no social plans. So I had a lot of time. So that was a silver lining.
Well, I know you went to Durham University. How important do you actually think it is to go, though?
I would say that my university experience was really important in my personal development. So being at university taught me a lot of brilliant skills, but not specifically to the subject. So as we mentioned, I studied languages. I don't use my languages now, day to day. Holidays, that's great, but not in my job. But what I did take away from uni was, you know, that year abroad that gave me the opportunity to work in companies and to study was quite instrumental. It gave me a lot of confidence. You know, going and living abroad, I think, is brilliant for growing into yourself and realizing, you know, who you are. But I don't think you need to go to university to do that necessarily. The other thing that it was great for me in doing is I did a lot of theatre when I was at university. I would produce plays, and so I would have budgets to manage, and I would have teams of, you know, up to 50 people to manage. And I think that that gave me a lot of skills in management that have been really useful to me in my career. But, you know, now I meet a lot of founders and, you know, just brilliant innovators. And many of these people don't go to university, or they go and they drop out, and it's much more expensive than it was when I was at university now. And I really think if we can give young people the skills, if young people can teach themselves the skills to build things and create things without going to university, then, you know, you should definitely do that. And apprenticeship schemes, I think, are really popular, especially in technology companies. There are a lot of apprentices who come through and have amazing careers. So that would be my thoughts around that.
So obviously we've all been hit by COVID, with things just beginning to feel normal again. You mentioned your work experiences during COVID-19, but how have you had to deal with the COVID-19 issues more personally?
Oh, yes. Well, I'm an extrovert and I am a very social person. So being in the pandemic on a personal level was really hard because I just became a version of myself that I didn't really know because I wasn't getting all of that external stimulation, that connection from my friends. So that was difficult. But at the same time, I think, you know, I used that time to really reflect on what I was doing. And actually, during that time, I did quit my previous job and ultimately found it unfabled. So it was maybe an opportunity for introspection that I hadn't taken previously. But, you know, I think also I live in London and, you know, I didn't have a garden. I was living in a tiny, tiny flat, and being locked in there when you know, you can't go outside or go to restaurants or galleries and museums, that again was challenging. So I think it taught me a lot about my mental health, and it got me back into some really good practices of meditation and journaling. But I must say I'm relieved now that things seem to be, you know, on the road back to normal, because I love being able to meet people, and especially through work as well, not having to speak to people all the time and do meetings on Zoom. It's so special to be back now and be in an office with all of the other fantastic people working for Unfabled that really outweighs Zoom meetings for me.
I'm glad to say that it's all over pretty much now.
Yes, definitely. Touch wood, it stays that way.
Let's hope. Well, you mentioned that you spent around 3 years at Unilever. Do you think your work there helped you when setting up an online store?
I definitely think it did. Yes, I'm really grateful for my time at Unilever. You know, it's an amazing company, and everyone is very mission driven. It's all about building brands with purpose. And I think that grounding in thinking about how we build brands in a meaningful way, you know, popular Unilever brands are brands like Dove and, you know, Ben and Jerry's, and these are brands with purpose really woven into what they do. And I think that's really inspired me with the Unfabled brand, which is all about women's empowerment and sustainability. And I think, again, you know, being in a company as established as Unilever was brilliant in giving me some great management skills. I had fantastic managers, and that really can't be underestimated. So, I still am great friends with so many people at Unilever and in touch with them. And yeah, I think the work they're doing is awesome. So when people ask me about it, I rave about the company. And I do think if people are at university, then opportunities to do things like spring weeks or internships at Unilever, I would definitely recommend trying that, because it's a great place to really just learn what business means and learn what marketing means, and for me, learning how to build digital brands and to work with technology.
Well, it definitely sounds like quite a very interesting company and a great place to work at.
Absolutely, it really was. So if you're ever interested in learning more, I'll be happy to have a conversation with you separately.
Thank you. So the world is changing so much and super quickly. What do you think or hope work for women might look like in 10 years time?
Oh wow, I hope that in 10 years time, women, whatever age they are confident at work to talk about what's going on with them and with their own health. So what I mean by that is, at the moment, there's still quite a lot of stigma in the workplace around talking about things like periods. And that can be difficult, because for a lot of women, their periods, and then especially as we get older and as we start to go through the menopause, having a menstrual cycle and the symptoms there can really affect how we feel, and they can really affect our mental health and our physical health. And so when women don't feel comfortable to talk about that at work, it can have really bad knock-on effects. You know, they can pretend, you know, they're just sick and take sick days, or they soldier on, or, you know, there are some really horrible stats around, you know, 1 in 4 women who are going through the menopause, so that's really age between 45 and 52, you know, one in four women consider leaving work because it's really difficult. It's really difficult to keep doing things the way that they might have been doing things before. So things are starting to change and more conversation is happening. And I hope that in 10 years' time, women will feel completely supported by their employers and know that whatever they're going through, whether that's pregnancy or they're coming back to work after having had a baby, or they have really debilitating period cramps, or they're having a lot of hot flushes because they're going through the menopause, I want women to know that their workplace supports them and will help them as they go through those different life stages.
Of course. So finally, I read you are a mentor at Enactus. Can you tell me a little bit more about Enactus, and have you had any mentors or have there been anyone that you particularly admire?
So Enactus, when I first discovered it, it stunned me. It's this incredible organisation that students at universities around the UK can be a part of. And it's all about, you know, social enterprise and creating businesses with social impact, or being entrepreneurial in a socially impactful way. So I, when I was at Unilever, was involved in mentoring people going through Enactus, and they would create businesses, and some of them, you know, were creating things like menstrual pads made out of, you know, out of clothes that were disregarded in Africa. So it, I remember getting a lot of inspiration even back then, thinking about, wow, these university people are coming up with fantastic ideas for menstrual care. So yeah, it was a brilliant thing. I wasn't actually aware of it when I was at university. So it's something now I look back on and think I wish I'd been a part of it, because it's a great movement. So if you do go to university, obviously no pressure, Grace, because we know that it's not the be all or end all. But I do think looking out for Enactus programs is a great way to get involved in being creative and entrepreneurial. And in terms of mentorship, I have had a few people who've been really important in my journey and who have been so supportive. And, you know, one of them is a mentor who I met back at Unilever when I was in my first role, and he was Mark McLennan. He's a really senior guy working in technology, and I remember thinking, you know, oh, I'd love to have a conversation with him, but he must be so busy. And I just reached out, and I think one thing I'd love to say is, you know, always just reach out to anyone like you're doing, Grace. I think what you're doing is so inspiring, because people always are eager to coach and mentor and share their experiences, especially with younger people. And anyway, I reached out to him, and he ended up becoming a really important person in my career, and helping give me advice and introducing me to people. So that's been brilliant. And again, you know, there are people I seem to have collected through my career, often people who were my managers and then who I've stayed in touch with, and, you know, who've really supported me, especially now in building Unfabled and in continuing to connect me with people that they think might be able to help. So, yeah, I think one thing I've always been quite good at is just reaching out to anyone to ask them for a conversation, and then oftentimes that will lead to a relationship, and I think that it's something I really try and encourage other people to do too.
Well, I've really enjoyed chatting with you today, Hannah. Thank you so much, and I'm sure everyone listening will now be thinking about some of the choices they're about to make in their careers. Keep listening to the Reach Next Generation podcasts as I talk to many more brilliant women. For more information about us, visit reachnextgeneration.com. And thank you to Levi Strauss, Ideal Standard, Sage PLC and Haynes Watts for their fantastic support.